a fucker.
You don't want to gonk.
You definitely don't want to gonk on here.
It was a gonk.
That was a gonk.
You call it sabotage. I call it sabotage.
Welcome!
Sabotage.
Sabotage. Total combined weight.
A couple fat guys, and then a guy who, the only thing that's holding you back is genetics, but you are very much a spiritual fat guy as well.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Oh, it was, you took it in the spirit that it was intended, so there you go. Eating meals out of the warm bar of a supermarket. We've all done it. We've all looked towards the opportunity to do it.
Fan.
Huge fan.
That's fine. We're going to leave it in. We'll leave it in.
You're talking about the hot
Stacey,
bar.
Stacey, nip that out of there. Supermarket meals at the hot bar. Do we all agree that that's we're going to call it the hot bar?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me. It's a bar that serves meat and it's always hot.
I mean,
grab and go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Grab and go chicken, I would rather.
Somebody might consider it the deli. It's usually adjacent to the deli. It can be considered that.
And I think universally, the star of that show, and was the star of our midday lunch that we all just shared, that's the fried chicken.
Yeah.
Or broasted, if you want to be correct in your terminology. Because it is, I believe all of that chicken is broasted.
I think it is, but I don't know.
All I know is I've seen them load the meat and bread in a machine that looks like a washing machine.
Yeah, that's a broaster.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
I'm no stranger to dining, but I don't know the difference.
Broaster's like a pressure cooker.
Yes.
How does it get the fried chicken texture then?
It's essentially like frying it. I mean, it is essentially frying it, but it's.
I think the idea, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but like when you deep fry a chicken, you've got to have a man or a woman, let's be equal opportunity here, man that hot bath of oil. At some point, they've got to lift it, maybe do some turning. I don't know. I've never worked that industry. But a broaster is a set it and forget it process, which would be super important in a supermarket. But just throw the pounds of chicken in there, and then a bell goes off, and all of a sudden you have delicious food.
I also think that it's because it's because of the amount.
Yeah, you can only you need quantity. Chicken. That's probably a really good point too. You need a huge vessel to provide the sustenance for girthy men such as ourselves to buy chicken on a value portion.
To have a pile of chicken at the ready.
God damn, walking up to the pile of chicken too is so, it just feels so good.
Well, one of the things I've always wondered about grocery store hot bars like that, it doesn't matter what part of the country you're in. Yeah. It's just this kind of southern thing, you know, it's all barbecue, it's like sausage links and brisket, and it's never like, you know, I mean, that's always available in any grocery store. Like the hot bar is always a southern barbecue themed affair, you know.
Well, but the Albertsons that I live by did not have sausage links or that beef, that cut of cooked beef that yours had. But my Albertsons also has a chicken wing bar, a dedicated chicken wing bar with like 8 flavors.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So the thing that I really appreciated about our experience today is that there was a mountain of chicken there, which means that I don't think too many people had visited the hot bar.
Yeah, it was a fresh dump.
It was a fresh dump. But also, you know, I have to give respect to the lady that helped us because she took time and attention to make sure she was giving us what she thought were the good pieces.
Yes.
Like, sometimes you go, they just give you whatever's on top. She, like, dug around and, like, found, like...
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it was borderline neurotic how she was just rifling through that mountain of chicken to find the best pieces for these best guys.
Yep.
That really meant a lot to me.
That's the Albertsons on Hillhurst and Los Feliz.
Yeah, great little unit. But yeah, eating out of grocery stores, I think that's an important skill. Because you don't always have the budget, or maybe even the time, to sit in a drive-thru and spend the 6 minutes. You need to spend the 3 minutes. Another important shout-out I'd like to, and this is probably to your point about talking about how everything's kind of the southern barbecue thing. I like a good deep-fried burrito. And it's like they take like a Tina's burrito, like a microwave burrito, and then just deep-fry that fucker.
Chimichanga?
Well, okay, yeah. It is technically a chimichanga, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like it's like an AM PM burrito, basically. You know they didn't roll that back there.
Oh, yeah.
You absolutely know that. They tore open the plastic bag and then threw these things in the fryer. Then out comes fucking flavor magic. That was not at this Albertsons, I noticed. There was no deep fried burrito.
I wasn't familiar with that practice at all. I mean, I know what a chimichanga is. I've had one ristorante style. Mm-hmm. But I've never had that from a grocery store.
Oh man,
store.
You know what? I might not even. now that I'm thinking about it, it might be a Ralph's thing, a Ralph's exclusive. Because Ralph's has your corn dogs mm-hmm. and these chimichangas, in addition to your fried chicken and your tenders and your potato wedges.
I appreciate an egg roll at one of those places, fuck too. Yeah. That ain't bad. But, yeah, so I imagine you two having spent some time on the road mm-hmm. playing the rock and roll music, that could be, like, an easy go-to. I mean, because I don't think I've ever been to a grocery store that didn't have a hot bar with fried chicken.
Well, I think that it is that is something that, you know, people... It is a quick fix for people on the road. But Brian and I we're a little more complicated than that when we're on the road, because we are such connoisseurs of junk food and things like that we don't want to... We're not looking for the quick fix when we're looking for food on the road. We're specifically going to this specific place that we had mapped out.
Yeah.
Like, or this fast food restaurant that's only in fucking Kansas, or this... You know, whatever. That's more our speed. So
yeah, I'm of the same mind, and I have a business trip I got to take to Texas in about a month, and I've already figured out where the nearest Whataburger is to the place I'm staying.
Yeah. You're definitely gonna have some gems there. Yeah. I think there was the one time where we stopped at a Flying J type truck stop unit. It was somewhere in the Carolinas, and it was very much inside was very much like a hot bar at a supermarket, but. So fucking impressively expansive. Oh,
Sheetz.
Well, yeah, Sheetz. Man, oh man.
Yeah.
I remember buying...
Sheetz is incredible.
Dude, there was like a baseball-sized... It wasn't... I mean, it's a meatball in that it's a bunch of meat, but in a ball shape. But so much more than that. That all this fucking... Yeah. Like, there's a... In the middle was like a core of gravy and then a layer of stuffing around that. And then that was all packed in with like ground beef or something.
Yeah, Sheetz is... Whoa. Sheetz is out of this world. Have you ever been to a Sheetz?
No.
Oh, it's out of this world. It's like... They have... It's like a, you know, multi-purpose truck stop gas station. And they're all over kind of the south and kind of into the northeast. Like, they're in Pennsylvania and places like that. But it's like, you got to look this place up. It's incredible. They have, like, a robotic ordering station where you go up and it's like, what do you want? And it's a touchscreen thing. It's like burrito. And you click burrito and there's 18 different varieties of burrito. And you're like, shit, which one do I want? And none of them are like standard too. It's like weird. It's like the waffle fry and, you know, French toast stick burrito, you know. It's just weird kind of oddball shit. It's and they make it fresh, I believe. I think there's like they have like a kitchen, like a fast food kitchen back
there. It had to be the turn when we went there. It was like a super like high traffic time. It was packed, and I remember seeing trays getting refilled left and right.
Yeah,
so yeah, they have to have some sort of on-site cookery or kitchen.
I took a road trip last year, and I was in a Sheetz, and I remember just like looking at everybody who lives there, basically all the people who
spoiled.
they live off Sheetz, you know, and watching them just blindly just ordering these things, and it's not that cheap either. So it's like you get the burrito and your coffee and fries, and it's like, you know, $12.81 or something. It's not cheap. It's like kind of modern day fast food prices, but yeah, that place is incredible.
Absolutely, it is. Well, this is a bit of a sodium lull. We did just eat about 30 pounds of fried chicken. Oh yes, that's right. Supermarket dinners. But yeah, no, there's always a point in time where you will find yourself just going into a supermarket for your dinner. It's not a restaurant, and you're outside of a pantry at your home, so you have to make some fucking choices. Now, obviously, all three of us are going to make the hot bar choice. What are some other go-to snack and grabs that you guys have at a supermarket?
Supermarket?
Yeah, this is not... We're not talking grocery shopping here, Brockway.
Yeah, no.
We're talking about... I'm going in. I got, we'll say, $15 to my name, and I'm going to consume all of this shit right here, right now, as a meal.
There's a yuppie grocery store by my house right around the corner called Gelson's, mm-hmm. and they have this turkey chili.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too expensive, but fuck, it's good.
A turkey chili?
Turkey chili, yeah.
Holy shit, okay.
It's fucking good. I can't go in there without filling up a cup. I end up spending $8 on this fucking cup of chili. Every time.
Holy shit.
It's way too expensive. This grocery store is awful. I mean, it's Albertsons
mm-hmm.
or Vons or Safeway or whatever. It's any grocery store that gives, but it's the same as any of those places, but it gives people who have money the peace of mind that they're spending more. Rich people need that peace of mind. So it's a grocery store that caters to that. It's just, mm-hmm. you go there to buy your fucking Cheez-Its and your brownie mix and your
but
Doritos.
But they're just more expensive.
But everything's just more expensive.
That's
and they don't have coupons and they don't have, there's stuff that'll be on sale, but there's no like punch your number in. There's no coupons. There's nothing mm-hmm. like that. It's just grocery store for rich people.
Well, you know,
but they have this chili that'll fucking, it'll kick your ass. And they have this tells you they have a pizza bar in there, yeah. Like slices, like pizza by the slice in their little deli, and it's fucking Wolfgang Puck. Ugh. Yeah, it's unbelievable, this place.
Yeah, I've been to Gelson's many times, and I'm someone that's in a family where we are sometimes, mostly, a lot of the times, health conscious, and they do carry some things that are like in between. You can think of it as like an in between point between an Albertsons and a Whole Foods. So some of the stuff you need at Whole Foods, or like if you need an eco friendly product, like you can get that at a Gelson's. But the thing I was going to mention about Gelson's, Whole Foods, Albertsons, Ralph's, I don't care who you bring on, Daddy, all those places, I do have, similar to my aversion to mayonnaise, which we'll get to at some point, psychological problem with the hot bar buffet when it's buffet style. Mm-hmm. Because I've seen who comes into a grocery store.
Yeah.
I've seen them handle money. I've seen their interactions, and I don't like the idea of them putting their hands or faces near food that I'm going to eat.
You know goddamn well when they had to drop 2.6 pounds of feces out of their ass in that shopping market, or that shopping market, they did not wash their hands after the fact. I would stake my life on that.
Yeah. Gelson's has a hot bar, and it's buffet, part of its buffet style, and I can't go anywhere near that. I just can't do it. And if there's like an open soup crock in any of those places, I just don't trust that some teenage kid didn't spit in it.
If you live your life in that pattern, you are almost certainly not going to encounter botulism, which is probably the way to go.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, this is a supermarket poop story, as they almost all are. But I remember when I was a kid, I'd go to Stater Brothers with my mom, and she'd just drop me off in the magazine section, and I'd just sit there and rifle through video game magazines. But during one of those very fondly remembered visits, I had to go take a shit. So I go to the bathroom, and I don't know, how does this even happen? How does it occur? Well, I know a little bit why. It was in Lake Elsinore, so that's maybe a thing. But so I go to open the door, and the first thing I'm greeted by is like a fucking 2-foot-long, just uncut mega turd. And it was literally like the guy married it and carried it over the threshold and then just dropped it on the fucking floor. So I had to walk over this alligator-sized shit to go to the bathroom. So I do that, open the stall, and on the inside of the stall, also completely just covered in shit. So I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. Luckily, there's the woman's room. And so I just go in there, just full tilt boogie. I go right in there. Walk right by some old lady who's like, "Why are you?" And then I just, without saying a word, just go straight into one of the stalls and just light that motherfucker up.
Yeah.
And then I get out of there. I wash my hands because I'm not a monster. And I go, I didn't. That's not true. I didn't wash my hands. And then I just, this is it. We'll just deal with the repercussions after the fact. But luckily, no one said anything. And I went right back to reading game players. And we were fine. But yeah, I don't know what motivates someone to leave that large of a deposit just on the fucking floor of a bathroom.
Well, and the point of that story is that guy didn't leave empty-handed.
Yeah.
He put his hands on food, whether packaged or unpackaged.
That's a guarantee.
And he had poopy fingers.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Yeah. So then, okay, if you... Josh, I know you fairly well. I know that all these points are totally salient about a buffet-style hot bar at a supermarket. Mm. What about an actual real-deal buffet?
So I guess I feel a little bit better about that. Mm-hmm. It feels like a more controlled environment.
Yep.
I don't want to cast aspersions on the people that frequent grocery stores or convenience stores that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, when I'm at 7-Eleven or the neighborhood Ralph's or, whatever grocery store I'm at, there are people coming out in and out of there that just come in. They might not buy anything, but they might touch a lot of stuff. When you're at a buffet, if you're there and you're just sort of hanging out, they're gonna kick you out because you're not a paying customer.
Well, yeah, and there's like a doorman system at a buffet. Like you gotta pay and breach to get to that food.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe it's a cleaner environment. That said,
yeah.
I mean, we know there are all kinds of horrible, horrible, awful people in this world.
Yeah, and you're
probably don't wash their hands and probably have no problem putting it all over my food.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Right here, front and center, certainly. But look, when you go eat at a buffet, you kind of know what you're getting into. You're putting your own life in your hands. And sometimes, those thrill rides, those risks, they're essential to quality of life.
Well, one of the all-time backfires in terms of buffet logic I've ever witnessed was I was at a Vegas buffet with some friends, and they were putting out seafood. And I am of the mind that I don't eat seafood at a buffet because it just, there's no way. Nothing good can come from that. You're playing with fire.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, who I said that to, who we all know, said, oh no, you're wrong, because it's always fresh, because they're constantly replenishing it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's your body and your choice, friend, but not mine. And he did, and he puked whole clams, like flying out projectile style the entire Shut way.
Jesus
the entire
Christ.
Way from Vegas back to Los Angeles.
Yes. Yeah. Well, like, again, you're putting your own life in your hands. What blows me away is when people, and this is the same thing, like the, it's like a seafood thing. If you want sushi, sushi is so popular and prevalent now, you can find decent sushi just about anywhere now. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck would you eat buffet sushi? Like, it just, I can't connect those dots in my mind.
So for some reason, I'm sure you both witnessed this when you were on tour. When you're in, like, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
it's a big deal there. Like, there's sushi everywhere in Missouri.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for that. But, like, all over the highways, there's, like, all-you-can-eat sushi buffets all over the place. I don't know. It's specific to that part of, like, the Midwest-South adjacent area.
Yeah, I don't see Harley Race eating sushi anytime soon. But then again, he did live in Japan for a long time, so who the
yeah.
fuck? I'm just saying the idea of Harley Race.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Like, if I'm going to a buffet... Or if I'm going to the hot bar at a supermarket, one of the main reasons why I'm in there is I'm a value man,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to be able to eat a lot more food for my dollar. But that being said, I want to keep that food in my stomach and not just flying out of my ass with the most ridiculous time-traveling speeds. So I'm going to steer clear of fish and sushi at that style of setup. Okay, well, moving on. This was a topic that we kind of got into a little bit when we were on the way to buy our fried chicken, which is kind of ironic because I think a lot of people who smoke weed go and buy a lot of fried chicken. But it's the idea, and this is you can spearhead this, Brock, because I think you're probably the white hottest at this. But we live in California. Weed is now, like, it's legal. You can walk into a store and you can buy it. I personally smoke all kinds of weed. Friends to the north would say I smoke hella weed, because that's my gimmick. I'm not much of a drinker. I definitely smoke some pots, though. But I also see I think the culture is awful. Weed culture in general is awful, but take a little venting time, Brock, if you could, and just kind of ejaculate your hatred all over the audience right now.
Well, like, it isn't particularly weed itself that I hate.
Mm-hmm.
I like you said, I absolutely hate the culture that surrounds it. And since I don't smoke weed,
mm-hmm.
or smoke weed very, very, very seldomly, I cannot stand the thought of it. And since it's become legal, it's just fucking everywhere here. You can't go around any corner without fucking smelling someone smoking weed. I work at a place where they allow you to smoke weed out on their front patio, and it's just all goddamn night people just smoking weed and fucking stoned. I mean, completely out of their mind stoned people just hanging around, and it absolutely drives me crazy.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts. I hate the things that people who are into pot will do for pot.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I used to play in a band.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, I believe you were also in this band.
Sure.
Where we had a 3-to-2 ratio of stoners versus non-stoners. And it was like, I remember having so much pot on us at one time when we were driving down the street.
Gifted pot. Yeah.
But it was ridiculous. We had so much pot, we couldn't, there was no way that this was going to make it through. I mean, that we wouldn't be coming from back from this.
Oh, we found a home for it.
Yeah, without a ton of pot. I mean, there was just a ton. And then we're there. We get to Oakland, you know, where it's even fucking worse than it is here. And some asshole comes up to our merch table and says, hey, I'll trade you an ounce of pot, which I know is a lot of pot, for, what was it, 2 t-shirts and a record?
Yeah, it was something. It was, we, as one of the resident pot smokers in the band, it was a deal where if we turned it down, I probably would have regretted it for my entire life. It was that good. Because, like, he showed us the weed, and it was awesome weed. And all he wanted was, I think it was, like, a couple shirts, maybe 2 records, to be fair.
Yeah, so he wanted to basically take money out of my pocket.
Right.
So these fucking assholes could have their pot.
Yes.
And I was fucking white hot.
He was.
White hot. Because I was like, you know, that's $45 or whatever.
Your cut would have been $9.
Yeah, it was $45 fucking dollars of the band's money that they spent so they could get an ounce of pot. And the response was, dude, but it was an ounce of pot. It was really good pot. I'm like, I just remember looking at Tim, who didn't care, our singer. He didn't give a fuck. But I remember looking at him and just going, are you hearing this? They're out of the fucking band. I was livid. I was like, I was like, all right. Well, and then I was trying to think the rest of the time something that I wanted really bad that I could trade two t-shirts and a record for that would piss them off, but I couldn't.
Yeah, nothing would have.
Nothing ever happened.
No.
Never happened.
Well, look, that's your bad.
I know what I should have done. You know what really would have gotten under his skin if I would have said, tell you what, I'll trade you two t-shirts and a record for $45 cash, and I'll keep the cash to myself. He would have been fucking, he would have lost his mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would have.
Money's his weakness.
It's what I'm admitting.
Well, I'm definitely the equator between these two polar opposite points of view, because I, not long after it became legal, I just wanted to know what it was all about.
Yeah, the experience, man.
I mean, like anybody else, in high school, I smoked pot, and throughout my 20s and here and there and everywhere, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I'm not a regular guy. Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't have a dealer or buy it on the regular, but I just wanted to go buy pot legally because it felt like, you know, I'd just become a citizen and I was going to vote for the first time.
You literally earned it. Like, earned your right to fucking buy weed like you do a beer.
Yeah, sneaking around for almost 40 years, you know? So, anyways, I went and did it, and I was pleasantly surprised by the experience. The place I went was not, it wasn't like a gimmicky place, and everybody wasn't an asshole in it. It was just, like, pretty normal dudes.
Yeah.
And I decided to sort of partake in the whole, like, I'm looking for something that's kind of like this. Like, I wanted to, like, get
something looking special. So kind of like a little bit of a body high, but maybe more of an emphasis on a head high. I want to do my laundry today, dude.
For
you know?
Yeah. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, definitely went there. And I was happy with the results.
Yeah.
All good.
I also, going to the store for the first, I never got into the, when it was legal here to get a card and that whole thing, which is just a beautiful piece of con jobbing. I have so many friends that went to, quote, see the doctor, and they would go into a room where there was a fucking iPad connected to Skype, and you would just be like, I'm depressed. And they'd be like, okay, yeah, you're done. And then, or like, I got headaches. Oh, yeah, no, you need weed for that. Just go ahead and pay the nurse. I never did any of that, and I regret it because that sounds awesome. But when they started to be legal, same thing. Going in for the first time, it just felt like I graduated, like, college or something. Like, it just felt really, really good. I wanted to touch on something that you said earlier about where you work and people are allowed to smoke weed. Dollars to donuts here. Who are you picking? A fucking belligerent, drunk asshole or just a slothy, stoned guy? Who is the worst offender to you?
God, that's tough. I hate them both.
Mm-hmm. No, naturally.
I get where you're going here. I get where you're going here because slothy drunks are the fucking worst. Mm-hmm. But I am not. I will not. I refuse to buckle under this pressure. Like, I hate like slothy stone dudes just as much as I hate fucking sloppy drunks. Mm. Just as much. There's okay. Not one is not better than the other. Absolutely.
Well, but one is not. To stereotype a little bit, one is more likely to punch you in the teeth for no good fucking reason. And
no.
The other one's just going to eat snacks.
No. Because the sloppy drunks that are there are like kind of like happy-go-lucky kind of drunk rock and roller dudes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stoners are all super entitled, rich millennial kind of young kids.
Okay.
Who are they all think they're fucking thugs, they all think they're fucking gangbangers.
Yeah.
They're like little white kids with tattoos all over their faces and shit.
Yeah.
So they're that's what I'm telling you. There's no there in the normal sense of the stereotypes, a stoner is better than a drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But in my situation, they're not.
Okay. Now that was what I was going to angle on too. Like
the stoners are the ones who are not going to tip the waitresses. And they're going to, when you confront them about being assholes, they're going to, like, try and fight you and shit. You know, it's like, it's a different. The drunks where I work they're just, like, middle-aged rock and roll guys who just want to love everybody and talk about how amazing Guns N' Roses is or whatever.
Right.
You know?
And they happen to be fish-like drunks.
There's kind of a clash of cultures there because it's like that young kind of trap hip-hop kind of scene and old rock and rollers,
right?
So it's not
it's kind of like
the
a
stoners there are not better than the drunks.
Okay,
they're not at all.
Well, and that's like your gig, your job, so that's your experience on a day-to-day, so I get that. But for me, there's no competition. Like, just a regular standard asshole drunk. I hate them infinitely more than I do someone who's just quiet and eating snacks.
Yeah, I think it's all totally situational. It depends on who's taking it. Like, I've always been of the mind that when I drank to excess for many years, many years.
Naturally, yes.
And I've always kind of been, you know, someone who says garbage in, garbage out. Like, you know, the people that are assholes when they're drunk, it's because there's probably something going on they need to deal with, or that they're assholes.
Right.
And it's the same thing with, you know, being stoners. Like, I'm sure that they're like your hippie stoners. There's like your doom metal stoners. There's your hip hop stoners that would be cool, like your Method Man type guy who's gonna sit around and talk about Kim Butera with you and get stoned. And then there's your
Little Drunken Master too.
There's your little Zan stoner who is a little bit different than that.
Yeah, you're right. It's totally situational. And also too, like, I just, you know, people who are 25, 26 and younger today, I mean, they're just awful. You know, they're just, by and large, some of the worst quality human beings that I think as a species we've been producing as of late.
But, I gotta ask a question, because you know, you purchase on the regular.
Yes.
I do know some people that did not want to participate in a legal purchase. They wanted to keep it the old way because they like it that way better.
And well, I have a close friend who is very much an outlaw. And he stands to earn a lot more money when pot is illegal. So he was pretty mad about it. But, you know, just like Mother Earth, you know, it finds a way. So he's okay. He found people. Because personally, like, I would rather get weed off of him than go to a fucking store. Because number one, he's my buddy, so it's going to be cheaper. Number two, and this is a big number two for me, and this is kind of talking about the weed stores. So, little tangent on that. The first one I went to was like, and I think they're all like this. They've got to be. And if they're not, they're all changing into this. But so you walk in, there's a waiting room. You got to give your ID. And it's very much like a kind of like a doctor's office or a dentist office. And then you have to get buzzed into the back where all the weed is.
Right.
Right when you open that door, there's like, at the first one I'm talking about, there was like 10 girls, probably the oldest one, maybe like 25. They're all wearing, you know, fucking super revealing clothes. And there's what, like, two guys that are just kind of like the overlords, you know, like a pit boss. Like, they're just like making sure shit doesn't get out of control. And then blaring over the speaker is just, you know, god awful fucking mumble rap that I wouldn't piss on it if it was on fire. And I don't give a shit if anyone out there listening likes that stuff. You're flat out wrong. Heavy metal is the final answer, and we can move on off the point. Look, I get it. I know that, like, tits and ass sell. I get that. And good on the business people who institute that. I have nothing against fucking Hooters or strip clubs or anything like that. But I want to go buy weed. I want to get in and out. I don't want to fucking talk to anyone, because just like you, even though I smoke a ton of weed, I fucking despise pot culture. Weed is weed. When you give them these stupid goddamn names that all sound embarrassing, and like I feel like an idiot when I'm ordering something. Yeah, you know, I need like an eighth of Blue Dream Power. I need that. I don't know why I'm saying those words, but here I am. And it's just fucking riffraff. Like, I think what would be an awesome business would be, here's the fucking, like, arcade operators, like fat old men with silver ponytails wearing Grateful Dead shirts, who are just as angry to have to talk to me as I am to them. And it's just boom, boom, boom. You know, here's your money, get your weed, see you later, we're not going to talk. But when you go into these stores, it's like a horticulture lesson. And they all think that they're fucking experts because they have this admittedly awesome job where they just sit around and smoke weed all day and get paid for it. But yeah, now, if I was younger, if I was an idiot college kid, and I would probably be fucking doing all the dabbing and the whatnots that all the kids do today, I'd probably think it was a whole lot cooler, like, just going in, because it's like a freebie. But I'm older now, and I just don't have the time for it. And quite frankly, it makes me a little mad because it causes more traffic to come into the stores, I think. Where, like, you don't need the sex to sell pot. Pot fucking sells itself. But, you know, here we are, and this is the way things are. Yeah, I don't need a girl in a halter top with fucking kitty cat makeup to tell me, like, how good CBD is at destroying cancer cells. Because I'm not going to take your word for it, sweetie. I'm not going to do it.
It's a word.
So, yeah, that's the other thing, too. You were talking about this, Brock, like, the idea that pot is this fucking tincture, magical cure-all.
It's just not.
It's not.
It's just not. I don't care. I mean, it's people want to believe that, and they make up the science behind it or whatever it is. They want to believe that because they like getting fucking high.
Yeah.
That they like pot. They like getting fucking high. So all of a sudden, it cures fucking cancer. It cures fucking AIDS. It cures this. It doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
Well, and even if it did, to play devil's advocate, because I'm not a pot doctor. I don't claim to be.
But neither. I have no proof of science behind mine.
But
I'm just not a fucking mark.
Well, exactly. healthy amount of skepticism behind here too, because that pot is super fucking pot. It's not like it was unpopular, but now, especially in the states that where it's legal, it's just, you know, it's fucking blank check. So it's super, super popular. And it makes sense that other, I read a thing that Coca-Cola really is like investing a bunch of money into CBD stuff because, you know, we just want to find out or whatever. And so let's say that it has some positive effect and it does
great
kill. Yeah. It's still like, okay, that's great. It's still the reason why it's sold and grown and all that stuff is for you to fucking smoke it and get high. So why do you need this fucking, this extra cure all of like, oh yeah, well no, it's really good. It's going to help mankind. And did you know George Washington grew it?
It's to get people who aren't behind getting high behind it.
Yeah.
You know, it's to convince people that you know, hey, that there's so many uses for this wonderful plant. Mm-hmm. You know, this wonderful miracle plant. There's so many uses. It's like
grown forth out of Gaia's flesh.
And that's cool if it is better quality paper, or it's a better option for paper than trees. Yeah. Great. If it's a better option for rope or whatever the fuck, or
yeah, or even medicine, like we're talking about right now.
If it is, great, fantastic, but quit fucking bullshitting here.
Yeah,
you like it because you like to get fucking high.
Yeah,
you like, that's why, you know, you're going to these lengths.
Yeah,
well, as a somewhat hippie-ish man of science here, I do have to say what's probably going on in a lot of these cases, or that gets extrapolated into like the larger sort of healing picture, is that anything that lowers your stress is going to help your body heal faster.
Sure,
I think a lot of times people want to take those studies and they want to extend them out to other things. I'm sure if there was some hardcore hippie pot cures everything person here right now, they'd be yelling over the top of me saying, no, it's more than that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there are studies that show, like, if you're in bodily harm.
Cannabis, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, God. Cannabis. Cannabis cunts.
That is a pet peeve of mine as well. It's pot. If you want to be old and fucking, you know, fuck silver-haired about it, you can call it marijuana if you want to. Just don't call it cannabis.
Well, and I also have to say, if it wasn't totally about getting high, I'd sure like to find out why the hell it is they're giving away all these freebies of things that people just need to stay away from, like mm-hmm. that seafood buffet.
Yeah.
Because I had one of those edibles, and friend, don't ever do it. Like, it's just not... It's not for those of us that are not initiated.
It was a day waster.
Yeah. The way to consume weed is to smoke it. Like, that's the way to do it. Because if you do it any other way, you're playing with fire as far as I'm concerned.
High Chief Jay Strongbow smoked it that way. Yeah. And that's the way it should be.
The gimmick behind edibles, too, is so strange to me. So it's like, they'll have, like, gummy worms or mm-hmm. gummy bears or...
Dude, they have lotions and salves
stuff, and it's cool. It's like, oh, it's great. But what is so funny to me, it's like the gummy bear is like so many milligrams of fucking THC in this thing. So like, okay, so when you take the gummy bear, you're just going to want to eat the head first, you know, mm-hmm. or maybe
microdose.
Eat half to three quarters of it, but don't eat the whole thing. It's like, it's a fucking gummy bear. Yeah. You should be popping like 10 of these. So you should be dosing these things out so that they get you high over a period in which... you know, 10 or 100 fucking gummy bears, you know.
Yeah, you're smoking, you're getting
high. When you
eat
gummy bears, you're sitting there eating fucking gummy bears. Yeah. You're not just like biting the ear off and saving the rest of the body for the fucking, for later.
Well,
but there's a guy that came in to the bar and he had peanut butter sandwiches. He had this big tray of peanut butter sandwiches that were medicated, mm-hmm. as he said.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. But he gave me one. He's like, you want one? And I figure I'll give it to my roommate or I'll give it to someone I know, you know. Mm-hmm. He's like, so you probably want to be like, cut the thing in half. And save one half in the fridge and then like eat a quarter. So just eat half of the half
mm-hmm.
and then eat the other half like maybe 5 to 6 hours later. And I was like, it's a fucking peanut butter sandwich. Eat the whole fucking thing.
Yeah. Make them smaller if there's a risk involved.
Well, and
or just lower the dose so that it's like you'll get this high mm-hmm. by eating a peanut butter sandwich.
Right. Because
nobody eats a peanut butter sandwich and then puts four chunks over 18 hours.
Yeah.
That's absurd. And here's the real ruse there. Is that you're going to eat a quarter of that sandwich,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to take a long time to get high.
Yeah.
Because it takes longer.
Sure does.
So about a half hour into that of waiting, you're going to be like, that didn't work. I'm going to eat more. And then you're either going to eat half of it or the whole thing, and then in 2 hours, you're going to be climbing down from the ceiling because you're going to want to kill yourself or jump off the top of a building or something.
I'm a heavy pot smoker, and this was at a job. I was doing B-roll, shooting at the old Beverly Hills fountain, right? And my buddy, who I was shooting with, gave me a pot chocolate. And he was like, same thing. Like, this is strong. Be careful. I wasn't like, oh, I eat chocolate because I'm fat and I have to eat chocolate. I have no self-control. It was more like, yeah, I get it, buddy. I smoke a ton of weed. Baby games. Don't worry about it. Like, super cock of the walk. So I eat the whole thing. And I drive to the location. I set up my thing. I started to creep in a little bit. And I'm like, at this point, I'm just like giggling, like filming pigeons walking around or something like that. And then at the exact time that it hits me, and it fucking, like heroin, hits me so gnarly, right? I feel this guy's breath on my neck. And it's this guy who says, "The camera looks really expensive." And I turn around, it's a fucking like 9 foot tall homeless guy. The biggest human being I've ever seen in real life. And he was this homeless guy. And he fucking just starts talking to me about how expensive my camera looks. And I'm like, oh, this is it. This is how it goes. And so I immediately start working him and talking about, yeah, I'm a student. The university lets us rent these out. And like, yeah, you know, I'm responsible for it. And all this, just trying to push this guy to the side or whatever. Needless to say, I discovered that he had a fucking southern accent in talking to him. And I just happened to fucking start talking about the Four Horsemen with him. And that, I believe, to this day saved my life. Because he grew up in Charlotte and was like this big, giant Four Horsemen fan. And it ended up being, he was a wonderful guy. He walked my tripod back to my car with me. So I was holding my camera and he was carrying like the other big piece of my gear. And he was the nicest dude in the world. But the moral of that story is, yes, edibles are dangerous and wrestling saves lives.
Did you tip him?
Ah, fuck no, I didn't tip him. Why'd I tip him? You know he wanted a tip. But the tip was, hey, buddy, you don't get to go to jail today because you didn't murder me. We both win. so there is that. Tipping, though. Fuck tipping. Fuck a tip, man. I hate tipping.
Yeah.
I will tip when someone goes out of their way. Like, I'm a Diet Coke guy. You can take one look at my beautiful figure and know that I'm a Diet Coke guy. But if I go to a restaurant and I have to ask multiple times. You and I went to a restaurant the other day. We went to a Mexican place. You had to ask that little fucker like 30 times to fill up your goddamn bottomless beverage. And he never fucking did. And yet you still gave that idiot a tip. And like a complete room.
He said yes every single time. I was like, can I get another Diet Coke? Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then, he'd disappear each time.
Yeah, of course he did.
And then the manager, whoever the fuck he was, clearly the...
You know, the superior the of
elder,
the duo.
The
yeah.
elder statesman of the wait staff. I called him over a few times and asked for my drink, and every time I asked him, I would get it.
Right.
But this kid would come around and ask if I want another one. Yeah, Diet Coke.
Sure do, buddy.
And he would never return.
Yeah. Well, he's a fucker. I don't tip. I think it's the worst. It's kind of rote, a little cliche, a little Mr. Pink from Reservoir Dogs, but that is seriously how I fucking feel. Like, you have to... the whole point of a tip is you go above and beyond.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Another big one for me. Huge one. And this parlays into a great story. If you tip at a buffet, you're the fucking stupidest person alive. But you and I, we went to a delightful China buffet, and there was a... Talk about the mix-up, Brock, and how you got me all kinds of hot.
Vegas seafood.
Yeah, Vegas seafood.
Las Vegas seafood buffet in Hollywood, California. Okay, so I don't recall the whole deal behind it, but we went to the buffet,
mm-hmm.
Three plates minimum each, I'm sure.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah, just the normal intake. Mm-hmm. And somehow we got into the conversation of the tipping at the buffets, which I think we talk about it every time we've ever gone.
Probably, yeah.
Like, it comes up at some point. And I only tip just because I live in the culture of tip shaming, where you feel like you have to pay this person's salary because their boss isn't, you know?
Yeah.
And you're just expected to tip wherever you go, no matter what, because it's your job to make sure that their tips are covered so that they can continue to live because their boss pays them
nothing.
$8 an hour, right, or whatever. So we both have the same bank account.
Yeah, we have the same bank account, and our cards, we like the specific cards that we each have, like, are identical looking. Yeah. And both of our dumb names start with B.
So we paid here, and to further not earn her tip, she switched up and she handed me his check and handed him mine, and neither of us noticed.
Yes.
Yeah. We didn't notice.
Yeah, we didn't notice until it was way too late.
Until he was like all, you know, I'm not gonna tip, and doing his Brian thing. I was like, well, oh yeah. And then that's when I noticed that it was his name,
yep,
on the receipt. And yeah. So I left her like $6 or $7.
Yeah, it was a nice hearty little tip. Oh, you fucker.
Gave her a huge tip. I look over at his, and it's the zero with a line through it,
yep,
and it says my name on it. And then I slide his over to him. So he's got the big $7 tip, Brian. That was amazing.
Yeah. I'm definitely somebody who is on the business end of that, mm-hmm, work. I tip too much all the time. And I also feel like, you know, the reality is that a lot of these places, they're relying on me because the bosses do not pay a livable wage in most of these places. And I also keep a mental account because, like, there's one place I go eat at all the time. And I mean all the time. I'm a regular. They know me. I come in. They know what to fix. The whole thing. And I always use a credit card there. And they do not provide the area to tip with a card. So I never tip. But then there are other places where they do that thing that Brock was talking about earlier before we hit record, where they flip the iPad around or they do whatever.
And tip shaming.
Yeah, tip shaming.
How much are you going to give me today, you asshole? Yeah.
And because of that, because of whether or not the establishment works it into using a credit card means whether or not I'm going to tip.
Right.
And so sometimes, like, there's something I should tip for where they're actually doing things for me and, like, it seems like a tip is called for.
Yeah.
And, like, they're giving me extra good service or whatever. And there's other times where somebody's just, like, pouring a cup of coffee for me, but then they turn that thing around and show me, like, it's time to tip. And I'm like, well, I guess 20% or whatever. And
I do not. So I succumb to no tip pressure. I only tip when I honestly feel, and it, like, it really is like, you gotta go the extra mile for my tip money. You really do. Like, you gotta be nice. You gotta fucking refill my drink without me asking for it. Like, be attentive. Like, I've had servers that, like, literally don't give a fuck that I'm there. And, like, I'm a nuisance to them getting home earlier, which is fine. Work sucks. That's natural. But fuck you. I'm going to goddamn TGI Fridays and I'm here. And don't say that these drinks have free refills and not give me my fucking free refills. So those are the ones. And the other thing for me,
I want my chicken doodles and pizza fingers.
What really did it for me, though, is being in the pizza business for as long as I was, delivering pizza. I'm not a pretty woman. So when I would go out on deliveries, like, I would get stiffed all the fucking time. Like, all the time. Just, here, yep, here's my pizza. And, have a good day. See you later, shithead. All the fucking time. So that, like, it's a little different when you're delivering a pizza than it is, like, working as a waiter or a waitress. Like, you're, you know, I'm driving your food in my car so that you can fucking be a fat fuck. Come on. So I tip a delivery driver. Not much, but I do tip delivery drivers so that is a whole extra step. I mean, they're quite literally risking their lives on those goddamned roads trying to get me my pie.
Especially when they got to be there in under 30 minutes.
And they're always high, going back to weed, because they work at a pizza shop. I've never, ever been inside of a pizza shop working where people wasn't wall-to-wall stoners. So there's all kinds of risks that do deserve an extra little step there. But yeah, I never got tipped for anything. And then when I did, it was like a buck here or there. One time, I will admit, it was a pretty good day. This was at Michael's Pizza, the crown jewel of the Inland Empire from a pizza standpoint. But I delivered pizza to this smoking hot mom in a hot tub. And it was just like, literally like straight out of a movie, come on back. I mean, I didn't get a hand on it or anything cool. I didn't even get a flash or nothing. But the woman was just sitting there, you know, being all hot and mom in a hot tub. And she, like, just, you know, just put the pizza there, hon. And then go into my purse and take out a 20. And I was like, yeah, but what? Like, it was, like, the coolest shit ever. And she was probably pilled up out of her mind and on all kinds of wine to wash those pills down. But the point is that was my one and only golden moment in receiving tips.
God rest her soul.
Yeah, exactly. The world lost an angel when old Beverly bought it. So yeah, I mean, this is kind of a bit of a hodgepodge here, but I think we really did the damn thing. We've educated some minds out there. Is there any closing remarks you guys want to make on tipping pot or grocery store hot buffet style bar fooderies, whatever the fuck those are?
Don't do it. Don't smoke it. Eat there often.
Perfect. Yeah. I gotta say, if you haven't gone to your local hot bar at the grocery store lately, do yourself a favor, because it's been a while for me, and it is just fantastic.
Yeah, it's a majestic trip down Flavor Island.